Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of Scott, our Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. Today is June the 30th, 2025. It is the sixth day of the fourth lunar month, 2029. We must continue with the two timely greetings. This one will be number 36 by the Vichy Hall. We're going to forego the prayer thoughts of this one and get right on into the subject. It says democracy, communism, Catholicism, or Protestantism, which is next to rule the world. May the 15th, 1948 by Vichy Hall. And this is, like I said, two time read number 36. And we're just going to go right ahead and get into it after our prayer. It says, the nations from now on to live in two worlds. Man may guess, but he cannot predict. For Yahweh alone knows the future, and if he does not tell us, then we shall never know ahead of time. On this charted symbolism is seen the world and the prophecy. From the prophet Daniel's time down unto our day, and beyond. In this symbolical prophecy, therefore, we must search to see if there is any information given on the subject in question. We and the majority in the Christendom commonly believe that the line represents the ancient empire of the Babylon, the bear, Medo-Persia, the leopard, Grecia, and the nondescript beast in its two phases, the empires of pagan and papal Rome. But as to the leopard-like beast and the scarlet colored, we may not hold views alike, and that is why we need to study now as never before if we are to know the truth. If the beast of the Daniel, the first four beasts on the chart, represents four periods of the time, one following the other, then why should not the last three likewise represent three periods of the time, one following the other? Logically, they should. We need not, however, wholly depend upon logic, for the symbols themselves should define the time and the assistance that they portray. In the contrast to the countless poems on the nondescript beast, Daniel's four beast, you see the crown horn on the leopard like beast of the Revelation 13. Why crowns on the one and no crowns on the other? Well, the only logical and scriptural answer that can be given for the angel is with the explaining unto the Daniel that the horn on the non-descript beast symbolized a king that had no kingdom, as this, that they would Sunday arise, take up their crown, and reign, Matthew 7:24. And history records that this happened when the pagan Rome fell, and that the kings that then took their crown, their kingdom, are the kings who reached down unto our day. For these kings have now almost dwindled away. This throne are being taken by fascism, communism, or by some form of republicanism. For the leopard like beast, therefore, having his horns crowned, definitely denotes that he comes into the being after the career of the nondescript beast, after the fall of the pagan Rome, and during the time that the kings received their kingdom. For the crown horns denote crown kings. Moreover, I left a light beast blaspheme Yahweh and his tabernacle 42 months, which is exactly the same length of the time in which the little horn power of the nondescript beast was to speak against the Most High and to wear out the saints, for he was to do this for a time 1 year, times 2 years, and the dividing of time half year, equal unto 42 months, Daniel 7:25. Both the leopard life and the nondescript beast in the second phase were against Yahweh and his people for the same length of the time, 42 symbolical months. Plain event, the leopard like beast arranged contemporaneously with the second phase of the nondescript beast. Still further, the leopard like beast is a composite beast of all the beasts before it. His mouth of a lion, feet of a bear, body of a leopard, and 10 horns are marks which identify him to be a descendant of the 4 ancient world empires, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecia, and Rome. He is therefore the symbol of the world of today, the 5th symbolical beast. Now, the fact that the wounded head of the leopard light is to have his wound heal, and also with the fact that the scarlet colored beast of the Revelation 17 is as a beast that has the same characteristics as a leopard-like beast, having 10 horns and 7 heads, but no wound on any of them, proves that the latter beast is symbolical of the time after the deadly wound is healed, of a 7th period of the time, where the two-horned beast comes before the scarlet-colored beast, and he is the one who makes an image of the beast. before us. We are now ready to see by the means of this symbolical beast, the seventh, the kind of world we are entering into, whether democracy, communism, Catholicism, or Protestantism. There's no taboo. Light on this subject can be seen from the horns and from the woman that rides rules the beast. Let us first determine whom the woman represents. The first clue is in the widely known fact that inspiration never symbolizes civil government by a woman, but it does repeatedly symbolize a religious institution, a church, by a woman, one that brings converts to its creed. For the beast, as do all other symbolical beasts we have been, represents the world, while the horns represents the rulers. The horns of 10 in number are moreover significant of the universality, as are the 10 toes on the great image of the Daniel 2 and the 10 virgins in the Matthew 25. For the head 7 in number also signify completeness, the whole. Now the fact that the horns have no kingdom as yet, while the woman rides the beast, also the fact that the woman rides it, rules it, is evidence enough that the world is next to be ruled by an ecclesiastical body, not purely by the democracy or by communism. That the woman riding the beast symbolizes a world in this day and age is evident from the fact that the 10 horns, the civil powers that be during the reign of the Babylon, hate the woman, the church. Communism, being as the only worldwide ruling power since the world began, to hate religion, the church, is itself solid proof that the 10 horns are symbolical of communism, and that the beast represents a period of time in which communism is about to dominate the world's seat of government. For Yahweh is nevertheless to intercept by putting it in their hearts to give their power and strength unto the beast, and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the word of Yahweh is fulfilled. Thus they receive power one symbolical hour with the beast, for they themselves, not having a kingdom of their own, and in the end of the hour, they make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Revelation 17:16. Since the woman is a mother of the harlot, Revelation 17:5, it is obvious that the other sex have sprung from her. We have now seen that the world as much to be ruled not by democracy, not by communism, not by Protestantism, nor by Catholicism. It is to be ruled by a system of religion in which all her daughters participate, of a church and state government which is to be an image or a likeness of the leopard like beast before it received its deadly wound. Soon, brothers and sisters, we are to enter into this period of persecution. And now, thankful, we should be that there is no need to fear, no need to be taken off guard. For with the light now shining on our pathway, we should know what to expect and how to cope with the situation. Truly, unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. Psalms 112, verse 4. This brings the end of Tommy Green number 36. It's a short Tommy Green, only 16 minutes long. Took to do the whole thing. Okay. It says, at the end of that time of greeting, it says, Yahshua is coming. Yahshua is coming. As seas retire, the mountains melt through liquid fire, ye oceans cease to ebb and flow, his stately steppings you should know. For the Yahshua is coming, who shall stand? For who shall be found at his right hand? For he with the righteous garment on, which Yahshua, our glorious King, hath won. But Yahshua is coming, watch and pray. So shalt thou hasten that bad day. So shalt thou then escape the snare, and Yahshua's eternal glory share. And I. Okay. And our next study, Tommy Green number 37, true Tommy Green. It says, history and prophecy, commandments and statutes in the Bible. Text of address, July 17th, 1948, Beatty Hollow. What a gloomy lot this would be if there were no history, if there were no possible way of the knowing of the past. And still worse would it be if there were no prophecy, if there were no way of getting an idea what the future holds. Worst of all, would it be if there were no light on the present? Let me illustrate. Suppose you should look out of your window towards the east and toward the west, and you should see the land lighted for miles around, even unto the horizon, but there were no light at all in your own home. Again, suppose you should wish to drive somewhere, and you had a flood of light those on the rear and on the front of your car, but the motor would not turn over. What a good would the car be to you, and what a good the less? That is the exact predicament you would be in if you understood history and understood prophecy, but knew nothing about your own spiritual condition. Knew not that you were being overcome by the fiery darts of the devil. It would be like walking over a bridge which, unbeknown to you, was collapsing. You will agree, I know, that it is absolutely necessary to know both history and prophecy. Absolutely necessary to know the past and the future. But this in itself will not prophesy if your soul is languishing in the darkness. If you are spiritually dead and do not know it, no. This will not prophesy any more than would a car with a thread of light before and behind, but with a motor dead. Life to your soul and the light are causes your feet are. Therefore, the first importance. And how are these to be obtained? For the Bible, you know, consists of the three parts. Number one, history. Number two, commandments and statutes. Number three, prophecy. For the Psalms and the Proverbs alone, along with the Song of the Solomon, come with these same categories. History tells the past, and prophecy tells the future. But the keeping of the commandments and the statutes brings the blessings that should be ours today and lives the soul and shields the body. And these are sure in the commandments and the statutes is our only salvation. Am I speaking the truth? Question mark. Let us see what Yahshua himself has to say. Revelation 22:16 and verse 13 and 14. I, Yahshua, have sent my angel to testify unto you. He says in the churches, I am the root and the offspring of the David and the bright and morning star. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates and to the city. Matthew 5:17-12, 27-28. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till the heaven and earth pass, one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law shall all be fulfilled. For whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least and the kingdom of the heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of the heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in the danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say unto his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of the hell fire. You have heard that it was said by them of the old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Only those who do Yahweh's commandments are able to enter into the holy city. None others are thus privileged. For Yahshua did not come to bring crime and lawlessness, but rather to bring righteousness and peace by the blotting out the sins of all who repent of breaking the law. To be saved involves much more than merely calling him Lord and Savior and shouting Hallelujah. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, Matthew 27:21-24. Yahshua said, had you believed in Moses, you would have believed me. Brother John 5:46. To believe in the Moses is to believe what he wrote. To believe in the Yahshua is to believe what he said. If you cannot believe in the Moses, then you cannot believe in the Yahshua. And how much shall we believe? For the Yahshua answered, O fool and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Luke 24:25. If we are to believe all, then let us first read Malachi 4:4-5. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, for all Israel with the statutes and judgment. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, of the Yahshua. For you know by now that Malachi chapter 3 and 4 prophetically speak unto the people of today, unto the people just before the great and dreadful day, to the people, unto whom antiquity Elijah the prophet is sent. And what wise counsel does Yahshua give to the Malachi? Question mark. Okay, it says, for he says, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant. Which law? The law of the statutes and judgments of the sanctuary. That's the feast days, the new moon Sabbath, the atonement, the Pentecost, the Passover, the seventh day Sabbath, and Horeb. Since this is Yahweh's faithful advice unto his people of this day, we would do well to restudy this law of the Moses and to remember it, for we cannot disregard his counsel and still expect his blessing. Broadly speaking, the law of the Moses consists of the three parts. The first is the ceremonial law. That's the laws of the Yahshua in the sanctuary, for Yahshua is the high priest, officiating with the sprinkling of blood on a daily basis of his blood for the sins of people that come to him confessing their sins on a daily basis of the temple. The sacrificial law, the law we today must not observe except in the antitype. Well, the antitype would be keeping the daily at the third hour of the morning and at the ninth hour of the afternoon sacrifice. That's the time of the morning and evening sacrifice of the law of Moses, where it foreshadowed things to come, particularly Yahshua's first advent. Thus it is that if we had lived in the Old Testament time and had failed to comply with the sacrificial law and system of that day, we would thereby have demonstrated unbelief in the Yahshua who was to come. But since we are living in the antitypical apostolic era, if we should now observe the typical sacrificial law and system, we would have to do it in a new and living way by faith in the blood of Yahshua being sprinkled on the horns of the altar at the appointed times, the third hour and the ninth hour of the day. That's found in Hebrews chapter 12, 18 to 24. Who has come? The Vicky Hall saying that if we believe in that today, then we wouldn't believe that Yahshua has come. So Vicky Hall, once again, he says one thing at the beginning of this statement. He says, remember the law of Moses for all Israel. Then he says the law of Moses has three separate departments. And then he says, but one of them, you don't practice it. And that's the second one, where you do the way you do the daily and meet with Yahshua at his appointed time in the heavenly sanctuary. So V.T. Hollister, he left by just not doing his complete research, which he could have, and come out real clean, but I guess it wasn't for him to be 100% on all that. Okay, and so, as this law, the law of the sacrifice, so as this law of the animal sacrifice, up to the cross, cross reporting, we need not and must not observe it now. No, you don't observe the slaying of the animal, but you observe the baby. When Yahshua meets with you in the new and living way with his body being the sacrifice in the new covenant. For the second part of the Moses law is the law by which Israel was to rule its people. The civil or legal law, the law which defines what penalty the government should impose upon those who are caught stealing, killing, or the like. Now, since we as Christians do not have a government of our own, but are still under the governments of the nations of today, we personally, or as a group, are not required to enforce the legal law of the Moses either. Well, the only law of Moses, therefore, that we can possibly be admonished to remember is the third part of his law, the moral law, and B.T. Hollister calls that the fifth of the Ten Commandments, which consists of the things that pertain to us as individuals, the things that we as individuals must perform, the things that affect our character, the things that make us a peculiar people. We therefore need to search out and do the thing contained in the moral law of the Moses. And then V.T. Hollister says only the commandments. He don't say the Ten Commandments, which that's what he meant. And the statutes and the judges, Deuteronomy 5:31. And the surest way to select these moral essentials from among those things which pertain to the sacrificial and the legal system is to go to the book of the Deuteronomy. This book is the summary of all the laws and statutes which the Moses spoke unto the ancient Israel. His last words, we shall begin with his prediction of our own situation, of our soul journeying in the land of the Gentiles, as it is this day, the certification of the fact that in the counsel of the Moses writings we too are included. Deuteronomy 4:26-31. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land, whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Yahshua shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left a few in the number among the heathen, whether the thus Yahweh shall lead you, and there you shall serve God, the work of men's hand, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek to Yahshua, thy Savior, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are coming upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn unto the Yahshua, thy Savior, and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Yahshua, thy Savior, is a merciful Savior. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Here Moses predicted the disintegration of the kingdom, then expected and the dispersion of the people of Israel throughout the nations. The exact situation in which we are today. We also herein predicted our visitation in the latter days, our time, and the time we as Christians find ourselves as fugitives and sinners among the nations, the time we are visited by the inspiration and are advised to turn to the Yahshua, to be obedient unto his voice, and if we obey, he will hear us and save us. Deuteronomy 5:11-21. Thou shalt not take the name of the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, in vain, for the Yahweh will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Yahweh, thy Yahweh. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that Yahweh thy Yahweh brought thee out since through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore Yahweh thy Yahweh commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honor thy father and thy mother, as Yahweh thy Yahweh has commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land in which Yahweh thy Yahweh giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, neither shalt thou commit adultery, neither shalt thou steal, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou serve or covet thy neighbor's house, at his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor. Deuteronomy 6, 5 and 8. And thou shalt love thee, Yahweh, thy Yahweh, with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be a frontis between thine eyes. Deuteronomy 7:6-12:15. For thou art an holy people unto the Yahweh thy Yahweh. The Yahweh thy Yahweh hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken unto these judgments, and keep and do them, that the Yahweh thy Yahweh shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he swear unto thy fathers. And the Yahweh will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. According unto these verses, most of our diseases are caused through disobedience. And the very fact that there is so much disease in our time is evidence in itself that the world is reaping a full harvest for its disobedience. Hence, the longer we continue in our sin, the worse off we will be. Deuteronomy 10:12-13, 19:20. And now, Israel, what does the Yahweh thy Yahweh require thee? That to fear the Yahweh thy Yahweh, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Yahweh thy Yahweh with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Yahweh and his statutes, which I command thee this day, for thy good. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Yahweh thy Yahweh, him shalt thou serve, and unto him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. Deuteronomy 11:26-28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Yahweh your Yahweh, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Yahweh your Yahweh, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which you have not known. Deuteronomy 12:32. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add to, nor diminish from it. Deuteronomy 14:3. Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing. Deuteronomy 18:10-12. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of time, or an enhancer, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consultant with a familiar spirit, or a wizard, are a necromancer. For all that these things are an abomination unto the Yahweh. And because of these abominations of Yahweh, that Yahweh that drives them out from before thee. Deuteronomy 22:5-11. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman a garment. For all that do so are the abomination unto the Yahweh, thy Yahweh. If the grossness chance to be before thee in a way, in any tree, or on the ground, whether they be young ones, or eggs, and a dam sitting upon the young, or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam with the young. But thou shalt in any wise let the dam go, and take the young unto thee, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days. When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring thy blood upon thine house. If any man fall from thence, thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with the diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown, and the fruit of thy vine, vineyard, be defiled. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Thou shalt not wear a garment of the divine of the diverse sort, as a woolen and a linen together. In this particular catalog of the commandment and statute, you see that Yahweh is particular what his people wear and what they eat, for he expects them to be kind to animals. He wants them to be careful not to leave traps for the unaware, to fall into, or for anyone to be hurt in any way. Then also Yahweh's people are to farm in accordance with his wisdom, if they would have his blessing upon their labor, and if they would obtain health from the food they eat. Deuteronomy 19:23. Thou shalt not tempt, lend upon usury unto thy brother. Usury of money, usury of victory, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury. That Yahweh, thy Yahweh, may bless thee and all that thou settest thine hand to in the land whither thou goest to possess it. And thou shalt vow a vow unto the Yahweh thy Yahweh, thou shalt not strive to pay it, for the Yahweh thy Yahweh will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear the vow, it shall be no sin in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. Deuteronomy 24:6, 10-15. No man shall take thee, neither are the upper millstone to pledge, for he taketh a man's life to pledge. When thou dost lend thy brother any sin, thou shalt not go into his house to fetch his pledge. Thou shalt stand abroad, and the man in whom thou dost lend shall bring out the pledge abroad unto thee. And if the man be poor, thou shalt not sleep with his pledge. In any case, thou shalt deliver him the pledge again when the sun goeth down, that he may sleep in his own raiment, and bless thee, and it shall be righteousness unto thee before the Yahweh thy Yahweh. Thou shalt not oppress an hard servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are in thy land within thy gates. At his day thou shalt give him his hire, neither shalt the sun go down upon it, for he is poor and setteth his heart upon it, lest he cry against thee unto Yahweh, and it be sin unto thee. Yahweh's people are here told not to pledge their means or tools, not to pledge the nether or upper millstone with which they make a living, and they are not to be exacting with their poor brethren. They are not to collect by force, and they are not to delay paying wages to the poor. Deuteronomy 25:4, 13-16. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. Thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thy house divers measures, a great and a small, but thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which Yahweh thy Yahweh giveth thee. For all that do such things, and all that do unrighteously, are an abomination unto Yahweh thy Yahweh. Deuteronomy 27:17, 21, 24, 26. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landlord, and all the people shall say Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say Amen. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say Amen. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 28:1-4, 6, 15-22, 27-35. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of Yahweh thy Yahweh, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Yahweh thy Yahweh will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Yahweh thy Yahweh. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be in the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Yahweh thy Yahweh, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Yahweh shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. For the Yahweh shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Yahweh shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme of burning, and with the sword, and with the blasting, and with the mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. For the Yahweh will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. For the Yahweh shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy feet unto the top of thy head. These verses need no comment, for the requirements are plain unto all. Deuteronomy 30:15, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. 1 John 1:4-6. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is a message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that Yahweh is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and hear not the truth. James 2:10-20. Thou believest that there is one Yahweh, thou doest well. For the devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith is after works is dead? You're obeying all of the commandments and all of the statutes and all of the judgments of the moral law of the Moses, you see, is your evidence that you have been born again and that you have been endowed with the power from above, that you are enabled to choose the good and to accuse the evil, that you are the servant of Yahweh, keeping the commandments and the statutes and the Yahweh. And then is the light and shield of your life. It is the outward sign that by the life of Yahshua you have overcome the enemy of your soul and body. This system of the worship, therefore, is truly the righteousness by faith that brings the righteousness of Yahshua and the people of Yahweh. Let us now, with the ears wide open, hear the cry of Zell. Isaiah 52, 1 to 7. Awake, awake, put on that strength, O Zion, put on that beautiful garment, O Yahushua, the holy city, for henceforth the shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unchanged. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, that bringeth good, that tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion, thou Yahweh reigneth. Nahum 1:15, behold upon the mountains that feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace. O Judah, keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no longer pass through thee, he is utterly cut off. Hear the prophetic word of Yahweh plainly, because by both Isaiah and Nahum, the prophets, that when we see these good tidings published by him, whose feet are seen upon the mountain, and this is now taking place for the first time, since the prophets wrote, it is to be a sign that the wicked, the violators of the laws of Moses, are soon to be cut off among Yahweh's people. And now, since you are privileged to hear all these things, happy are ye, says the Yahweh, if you do them. Job 13:17. For the summary of our study, I would have you seriously look at this illustration. He has an illustration drawn there. So look at it, store it in your mind, and study it at your leisure. Okay, that brings the end of our study. This is our contact, just at the 11th hour call.